Spirit, it's March 6th, 2012, forward operating base, Edinburgh, Helmand Province, Afghanistan. I'm with a New Mexico National Guard member who happens to be one of my neighbors. Sir, please tell me your name.
Sergeant Heath Petty.
Can I call you Heath?
Absolutely.
All right. Heath, I also know that back in Albuquerque, you have a different job other than the National Guard. Tell me what you do.
I'm a lieutenant for the Albuquerque Fire Department.
Okay, so like I asked the other fireman that's here from Albuquerque, is my home in good shape if it catches fire, or do you have to go home and take care of it while we're gone here?
Oh, it's good at home. You're safe.
All right, so I don't have to worry about it because, you know, there's two firemen over here that, you know, and I want to make sure if my house catches fire, it's going to be in good order there.
Oh, you're good. You're good, definitely. The guys are taking care of everything.
Now, Heath, you have an interesting story. I know that you're 43 years old. Is that correct?
Yes.
Now, you decided to join the National Guard when?
When I was 41.
Okay, and just tell me, and the audience listening, why you chose to join the National Guard at 41 years old?
Well, I had a lot of heartache over not feeling like I'd done my part over the years. I was watching all these young kids making sacrifices and doing things that I hadn't done, and just felt really strongly about doing something to serve, even just if it was what I thought was going to be just even serving back home for the state. And just wanted to, you know, feel like I did my part in the service of our country.
And you're referring to the events from 9/11, correct?
Yeah, particularly that. I was at the Pentagon after 9/11 with our New Mexico Task Force 1, and that really kind of hit me hard, seeing what was going on with our country, what had happened, and how that event was going to change the lives of my kids and all of our kids from here on out.
So, and that was a little over 10 years ago, and you know the title of this particular journey that I'm working on is called 10 Years Later. And here you are 10 years later at age 43, serving as a flight medic on medevac helicopters, doing remarkable life-saving missions. How has that fulfilled what you wanted to get done?
It's been hard. It's been an honor for to serve with, you know, helping these Marines, the other soldiers and airmen and sailors that are out here. It's been an honor to serve with them and to serve with the other members of the Guard that are here. You know, it's like I said, it's been tough. It's been tough on all of our families, us being away. But we're doing a very honorable mission here. We're doing good things here.
Now, this particular mission, specifically here at FOB Edinburgh, as well as the other four locations that you guys are at, it's kind of unique. It's the Army supporting the Marine Corps. Tell us a little bit about that and how the cohesiveness of that works together.
Well, it works out really well. I think at first, you know, so especially as the new Marines would come in, they would see us and not really sure how to be with us, or not really sure how to talk to us, because Marines are Marines, and anybody else is an outsider. As we've got to work more closely with the Marines at the different FOBs, they get to know us and understand what our mission is, and treat us with a lot more respect. Treat us with a lot more. As another part of the team, I think it works out very well. And again, especially as these Marines have been in theater for a length of time, they see us and understand what our role is, and that we're not just some Joe Schmo, you know, Army guy hanging out being lazy. That we're actually there supporting them, helping them, taking their buddies off the battlefield.
And it seems to work really good. I mean, I can't tell if I'm on a Marine or an Army base. It's kind of a unique situation here. It's all just one group of folks.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, the whole concept of one team, one fight, and that's kind of how everybody feels around here.
Now, I want to go back to when you joined up in the National Guard and you were in boot camp at age 40, 41 years old. How'd you do with the young guys?
It was different. I feel some of these guys, I was as old as their dads, so that was kind of funny, but I tried to be a good example for them, tried to be a mentor. They treated me with a lot of respect. We give each other a hard time, which was totally fine. I was the old man, always getting teased about that, you know, needing a walker, needing a wheelchair. But they treated me with respect because I showed respect to them, and physically could keep up and excel, you know, beyond these kids. But again, it was trying to mentor them and being a good example for them.
I noticed, like on some of the missions, some of the pilots are like in their early to mid 20s, and here you are in the back saving lives with your patients and all. So you've got some people that could be your kids' age that are flying you around, and I have the same feeling. And I'm going, it's kind of a cool experience of we taught them to drive, but now they're flying us around.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. Exactly. It is fun, and we have a really good group here. We can tease each other and not take it personally, and it's fun to talk to these guys, talking with our pilots. Kind of, you know, they're higher ranking. They've been in the Guard a lot longer, but they don't know anything about the 1980s or the 70s or whatever. But it's good.
Yeah, I found that out this morning. We were talking basketball, and the Lobos are doing pretty good. And I said, "Hey, do you remember the time when Norm Ellenberger was the coach?" And the guy said, "Who?" And I'm going, "Oh my goodness, I better be quiet."
Oh, absolutely, Norm Ellenberger. Wow. All right.
I want to go on a kind of a serious note here briefly. You've been a fireman for about 17 years, and you've seen a little bit of everything in your work days there in Albuquerque. Tell me a little bit of the difference about a mission here where you're picking up a U.S. Marine that's severely injured and how that affects you and how what you'll take back with you from those experiences here back to the fire department.
It's been different. People are people, and we try to treat everybody the same, no matter who they are, what their status is, in life. You know, whether the local, national, ANA, or the Marines. But I know everybody here specifically has a heart for a U.S. service member when it comes to trying to do the absolute best that we can, and to a little more emotional when things don't turn out very well. You know, you see these kids, these young 19, 20, early 20s Marines that are losing limbs and things and sacrifice for their country. And back home, people, you know, you get a cut on their arm, and they're absolutely going to they freak out about, "Oh, I have a cut." And I hope my attitude doesn't change and get jaded to the point that I'll treat them with disrespect because, hey, at least you have your arm. I don't want to be that way. And I've been told by Staff Sergeant Benavides, who went to Iraq. He's another fireman with us. He came back and felt that way about some of the people back home. But hopefully, you know, we try to give the same kind of care that we would treat people back home. But the injuries that we see here are so much more horrific. And the time that we get to spend with these patients is a lot shorter than we would back home.
So most of your professional career, you're pretty much involved in saving lives, whether it be in Albuquerque or whether it be here in Afghanistan. When you go on a call to save a life in Albuquerque, there may be some tense moments and you don't know what kind of situation you're coming into. But when you go to land into a hot LZ to pick up a wounded Marine, things are a little different. What goes through your mind during those times?
You know, it's a little nerve-wracking when you're going into any POI, knowing that there's somebody out there who wants to kill you, or they've laid IEDs down that they're trying to blow you up or blow up the helicopter. Don't really think about it till after the fact of going, "Holy cow! I just walked through, walked down a road that might have IEDs on it because these guys just got blown up on that same road, or these guys just got shot from this compound, and I'm walking out of, away from the aircraft to go get this patient where they just, you know, had been in a firefight." It's different. It's nerve-wracking, but I think everybody would agree with me that, you know, when you focus on the mission, you're so mission focused when you get there, as far as, "I got to get this patient, get a turnover, find out what's going on, get the patient on board and get him back to the hospital," that you don't really have time to think about really what's going on until afterwards. And I think the after effects are going to, when you sit back and start thinking about what we just went through and what we just did on this particular mission, that's where it kind of hits you, going, "Holy cow, I can't believe I just survived that."
We all know that you're pretty much in the fourth quarter here, and soon you'll be home, back to New Mexico. What's the first thing you want to do when you get home?
Hug my kids, hug my wife.
Tell me your wife and your kids' names.
My wife is Tiffany, and I have a daughter, Alexa, who's 14, and a daughter, Taylor, who's 10.
So the first thing you want to do is give them a big hug, huh?
Oh, man, yeah. First thing.
Very, very good. One final question. What do you miss most about being out here, like particular food or a particular amenity? I notice we're not exactly at the Marriott here, but what do you miss the most?
Again, I miss my wife and my kids more than anything else, being able to contact them daily. As far as food, obviously miss green chili, but we've been able to get some out here. I miss a porcelain toilet and a hot shower and a warm shower room. Being able to go indoors is going to be fun.
Very, very good. All right, Sergeant Heath Petty, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with me this morning, and we'll see what today brings. And one last thing, you're not the only fireman here. There's a few of you here, isn't there, from Albuquerque Fire Department?
There is. There's another flight medic, Staff Sergeant Ron Benavides, who's down at Dwyer right this second. Captain Tommy Dunn, he's one of the pilots. He's also a firefighter back home. And Sergeant Zach Menzie, who's here at Fob Eddy with me and myself.
Well, that's really good. That's quite a good representation from the City of Albuquerque Fire Department. Sure do appreciate you speaking with me, Heath.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
This is Jim Speary. It's March 6, 2012, Forward Operating Base, Edinburgh, Helmand Province, Afghanistan.